Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the worst opening to the Abroad in Japan podcast ever. Oh, I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast and instrumental genius, musical sound wonder, Pete Donaldson himself.
That's with the rock mode. We've got our automatons out. Chris got sent an automaton. I think that's how that's pronounced. So we're going to start a band of automatons. Thank you very much to the people who send me videos of people doing some wonderful stuff with those monstrosities on Instagram and stuff. There are some really talented people.
And thank you to Satombi, who gifted me one as a Christmas present. I've recently opened some Christmas presents after getting back from the UK. Mm. There was a small pile, and that was in there. I still don't really know how to describe an automaton. It's like a little toy that plays music, and it's got a squeezable head.
It's a shit it's fun so weird. Synth. It's a shit fun synth. Yeah. It looks like a big musical note, doesn't it? Or maybe some kind of sperm. But and you just put it you put it to your fingers and squeeze its little mouth and make sounds come out of it. It's great stuff.
It's fun. I like playing around with musical instruments like that. I feel like there's a sequel to Too Much Volcano waiting, just waiting to be made with the automaton. I'm going to do a live show, like probably tomorrow, and I'm going to whip it out there and try it for the first time and see what I could do with it and surprise and amaze the masses. How are you, Pete? What's been going on with you?
I'm good, Christopher.
Swanky beard.
I'm good. Got a little swanky beard going on. A little bit too much salt and pepper in the beard for my liking, to be quite frank. I wasn't expecting this to come on quite so strong in at 41, but here we are. But bloody
you
here
have
we
the
are.
Beard of a 50-year-old man. It's kind of cool, though. There's something cool about grey hair, like a George Clooney style.
I think with walking down the streets in a winter coat with a lovely grey beard makes you just feel a little bit primo. I think a little bit of salt and pepper in your beard makes you feel a bit primo. And then you look in the mirror and go, God, you're older, than you shave it off, which I will do very, very soon. So, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Rubbish.
I'm coming up to my 33rd birthday.
Oh,
I'm not overly excited about that. But there is some good news, of course. And that is, if you've seen on social media, I finally announced that Sharla and I are engaged.
Yay!
It's done.
Woo!
It's out of the way. I asked her, I got down on one knee and I said, will you collab with me for the rest of your life? The ultimate collab. No, I didn't say that fucking up. We went
Lordy.
To, I wanted to in the Lake District on our holiday in the UK, and we were there in 4 or 5 days, right? Mm. And it rained every single fucking day.
Yep.
And I was like, God damn it, I just
welcome
want to get up the mountain and do it and get out of the way.
England.
Well, it's quite a daunting thing, right? It's quite a scary thing.
Yeah,
the weather.
Surely you only ask if you know the answer, sort of. I mean, it would be a surprise, well, wouldn't it? Like for most, I mean, unless you're absolutely thick as hell, you kind of know what the answer's going to be. Surely,
I don't know what I knew the answer was going to be yes, but right. I didn't. when I like pull out the ring and then drop it in the floor in the mud and be like, oh gosh, oh dear.
And you didn't, and just like, and you didn't sort of,
Richard Curtis movie.
You knew it was going to be yes, but you didn't know how it was going to be said. Because there's different ways you can say yes, isn't it? It's kind of like, yeah. That's the way I did it. All right.
The way I did it is the weather was crap the whole trip. And then we went down to Durdle Door in Dorset, which is this amazing rock formation that's like an archway. And I've always wanted to go there because it's in the music video for Shout by Tears for Fears.
Right.
So I was like, I've got, what a great place.
You should have grey
in
your
beard. We got there. Yeah. And it was the only day of the trip where there was actually some sun. Like the, it was like God came out that day and he's like, right, we're going to sort this out. Sorry for letting you down in the Lake District. I'm going to turn things around for you right here.
Nice.
And it was beautiful weather. And I was like, oh, we've got to get a photo in front of Durdle Door. So I set up the phone as if I was taking a selfie. And then I went, all right, it's got a timer. 3, 2, 1, will you marry me? And I pulled it out. And she was like, what? Ah. What is this? And it was a job well done.
She pushed you off.
It was over.
Pushed you into the sea.
She slapped me in the face and drowned me in the sea.
Oh, that's so nice, yeah, no, Chris. Cool. Congratulations on behalf of all of
Thank you very much.
Abroad in Japan listeners. And did you, like, I remember... obviously, I've been watching The Last of Us, Nick Offerman, who did the third episode, The Man with the Big Beard. He took his wife, she's the loud one from Will and Grace, I forget her name, I must admit. But when they got engaged, I think they were in Paris, and he kept on getting out fake rings and dropping them, like down grates and stuff. He kept, like, he'd be on top of the Eiffel Tower and he'd just drop it off the side. Oh, no, dear. So he didn't do that anyway. He didn't make a big old joke.
I nearly did. Like, the day before Durdle Door, we went fossil hunting, because it's Charlotte's favourite thing. I was like, fossil hunting? Maybe I don't want to get married.
Might find your record collection.
take the ring back to the store. It's actually quite fun, fossil hunting. I didn't think it'd be my thing.
It's a Jurassic Coast.
But, it was. And the beach that we did it on, the cliffs basically just collapse all day, every day, into the sea.
Cool.
Because they're these very soft lime chalk cliffs, and they sort of just erode.
Shit cliffs.
And... it was raining really hard, and it was washing all the cliffs down, so it washes fossils down. Ooh. And I was going to put the ring like in a fossil or just have it on the floor. I'd be like, oh, what's that over there?
Yeah.
That shiny thing.
Pokemon
ball. Then it was raining so hard, it would have got washed away, and I would have been like, fuck, there goes the ring.
Yeah.
And at your
pay grade, the rings are probably quite nice, aren't they? So, oh, no.
It wasn't like that much. You know, it was,
did you do Michael Scott? Yes, 2 years. 2 years salary.
My stance with wedding rings or engagement rings was I was never going to spend like silly money because it's all a facade for the diamond industry. It's all a load of bollocks, and you know, diamonds are some of the best diamonds are made artificially now in labs, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, do you want a diamond made in lab that's ethical, or do you want someone down a mine getting it?
I got the first
option is often better.
Yeah, I got like a lab grown, or however the bloody hell they do it, diamond for my partner, and price difference isn't that much. That's all I'm saying.
Well, yeah, I know, right?
It's not that much cheaper. That's all I'm saying, guys. I mean, come on.
bit sneaky. Oh, yeah, you know, it was all thought up by the diamond company De Beers in like the 1950s that diamonds should be a girl's best friend to make money out of
fucking
the shiny
Don
things
Draper.
In the ground.
Fucking Don Draper.
So, it's done. She's like,
it's
she liked the ring.
It's done.
I went.
You are done.
I had a rough idea of what I wanted and what I thought she'd like, and I went in the store, and you know, it was really awkward. I got like a few minutes away from her because we were on the trip the whole time together, and luckily she saw a friend one day.
Yeah.
And it was my one day where I had like some time away from her, but I was really worried while I was in the diamond store. I was worried she was going to like walk past and see me sitting there. So I was really hurrying things along. She's like, do you want this one or that one? I was like, that one there.
He's going, run, like you're the going in a mask, going a heavy, very exclusive benefactor that wants the very best diamond in town. I can't tell you who it is.
It just felt really weird though. It felt like being in a movie. It's a bit of a cliche, but like it's one of those life moments, isn't it? You know,
nice.
And Charlotte said to me afterwards, you know, you could have proposed anywhere. It could have been on like a bridge or a sofa or in a dustbin, and she'd have been happy.
Right.
Well, I was like, no, you know, you remember those moments.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be nice to do it somewhere like Durdle Door. So if you go to Durdle Door, not only are you going to the place where they shot the music video for Shout by Tears for Fears, but you're going to the place that I proposed to my favourite YouTube channel. We got a story this week from Claire, who says, "Hi, Ponderous Pete, and considering Chris." Ooh. Or considering Chris, or considerate Chris. "Myself and my husband have travelled to Japan 3 times now, no less. And the last time, just before COVID hit in February 2020, we went to Tokyo. On that trip, my husband went to B's Darts Bar one evening when I was passed out in our hotel room and swore that he saw Pete in the same bar. But he wasn't sure enough to approach him in case it wasn't Pete and he'd have to strike up a conversation with a complete stranger. So, Pete, was that you in B's Dart Bar in February 2020 in Tokyo? I think it could be because you were there then.
I love a dart bar. I think they're the best thing to do. You could do it by yourself. You could do it with friends. Dining, B bar, darts bar. I mean, it looks very much like I've been there, but I can't. Yes, I think it might have been. I think it might have been.
I think it was you because you were in Japan. That was the last time you were here, right? And
yeah.
That would have been either just after the snow festival in Sapporo. So
I love
it. I
think
the story
darts.
Continues. I think, go and look through your photos. Solve the mystery. But the story continues. On the same evening, my husband, Pete Donaldson, punched my husband in the face. He hit him over and over. And he said, "Don't ever talk to me in public, you bastard.
Don't ever even look at me. I'm above a dart in the eye. I'm going to dart you.
I'm above this. I don't like talking to my fan base. Please leave it now." On the same evening, my husband played against a few people in the bar, making friends with drunk salarymen with his dart skills, when one of the men asked him if he'd like to go to another bar to play, and I quote, "real darts."
Dirty darts.
It's like fucking Fight Club. My husband.
"You want to piss about this amateur shit? You want to piss about this amateur shit? Or do you want to play with the big darts? Wow, this dart's what, like 3 meters long. Yeah, big darts."
So Pete Donaldson wasn't playing real darts. He was at B's Darts. But what I like about the story so much is when I read these stories out, I picture them in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm picturing this dialogue unfolding. And then in the corner, there's just Pete Donaldson alone throwing darts at a board.
Just drinking.
My husband said, "Sure, why not? Let's go." And got in the taxi with this man and a couple of his friends to what seemed like the other side of Tokyo. He was then led up to the top floor of a random building to a small bar that he was pretty sure no tourist had ever entered before. Choking on cigarette smoke and downing beer and sake with his new friends, he proceeded to play real darts with actual metal darts instead of the crappy plastic ones you'd normally have to play with into the early hours of the morning. He crawled into bed at 5 a.m. where I mumbled, "Where the hell have you been?" And he just grunted and went, "Bruh," and fell asleep. Needless to say, our plans for the day consisted of greasy food from the local supermarket, lots of water, and a darkened room instead of a walk around the Imperial Palace and other sightseeing. When we thought about it later, we realised that if we were in any other place than Japan, his night could have ended quite differently indeed, perhaps missing a kidney or an organ. Bloody hell. What country are you worrying about? Have you ever had an unplanned night out like this? And would you have done the same thing if you were anywhere else other than Japan? Keep up the great podcast, guys. Claire." I mean, we've talked about, you know, in the past, Japan, there are bars where things go awfully wrong. And I was kind of anticipating, and then my husband's wallet got removed from his pocket and his finances got obliterated. So it's quite a nice end to the story there. Yeah, most of the world is safe. I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Just want to play real darts.
At Osaka, I was in baseball bar. We just sat in there for ages, befriended the owner. He took us round to his weird little upstairs restaurant by himself, and his daughter proposed to my friend, and he was trying to marry her off with my friend, and it was bloody. You have these sort of nights where they go, "Oh, we're going here," and you go, "Do you want to come?" And you go, "Yeah, all right then, let's have an adventure." And 9 times out of 10, they're great. I think sometimes people who fall foul of the terrible situations in anywhere, I think, in the world. Are either polite to a fault like me and can't say no, or
polite to a fault,
or they just sometimes they can't smell the danger. Whereas me, I smell danger all the time, and but I've had
like
loads of adventures like this. I've had loads of situations where my friend Al, he's got no nose for that sort of thing. Like he genuinely think, like we'd be sort of in a bar. And I've spoken about it before on this show, and there'd just be a guy coming over with tequila shots and just a gaggle of random, I think, Chinese young women. And I'm like, Al's like, "This is great." And I went, "Al, it's fucking dodgy as fuck. I mean, they're either They're either workers or they're something else. Or, just don't worry about it. I don't think they like you for how cool you are, Al. And this guy is lathering it on very heavily.
I sense another podcast for the Stack Empire. Al's Big Adventures.
Al's naive nonsense. Yeah, exactly. It's how we got bloody fleeced by a load of Chinese fucking so-called triad members in Shanghai once. Because the guy cannot smell danger like I can. Maybe I just smell danger too much.
I think you've got a very keen sense of smell. I just picture you walking around being like, oh, danger.
I smell danger. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Leave the table. Danger. Oh, God.
Well, I smell mystery in this week's news story. Yes. It's a mystery we've discussed, we've pondered upon many times in the past in the podcast, and finally answers are coming. What is the story this week in Japan, Mr. Donaldson? What have we got?
It's only a fucking mermaid, mate. It's mermaid news. Mermaid news.
Mermaid.
Mermaid news. much like how the dragons of Japanese lore differ from their European counterparts, Japanese mermaids look very different from what you'll see in a Hans Christian Andersen storybook or Disney movie. Japan's ninyo, which translates literally as people fish, are often depicted not with the upper body of a supermodel, but a more compact, almost monkey form. Sean, basically there was this mummy that was discovered, said to have been pulled out the sea by a fisherman in Tosa domain nearly 300 years ago. Its name is Ningyo, and basically in February of last year, five researchers from Kurashiki University of Science and Arts in Okayama began an investigation to determine the true identity of this weird mermaid monstrosity that a fisherman was said to have pulled out of the sea 300 years ago. This week, it's taken literally almost an entire year for them to do this. This week, the team announced its results, and unfortunately for mermaid fans, no, it turns out it's not a fucking mermaid because they don't fucking exist. They knew something was up when the only genuine skeletal structure component they could confirm was a jawbone, because it didn't have any skull, it didn't have any spine, and it didn't have any ribs. The investigation found that the artifact was crafted from a plaster or a gypsum substance, which created features including its arms, hands, eye sockets, and the upper body, which also had portions made of cloth, was wrapped in a thin sheet of paper, which was then wrapped in fugu, blowfish skin.
Oh my God.
The head was stuffed with cotton with some sort of weird animal hair attached to the top of the head to give it a mammalian appearance. The scales and fins on the lower body, meanwhile, appear to be from a species of croakerfish. So they're basically just glued or stitched or whatever a croakerfish to the body of like a bit of jawbone from something, and the rest was just an absolute creation. And so the temple that had mermaid in for such a long time, the Ningyo carcass was likely from the latter half of the 1800s, and the temple isn't upset about being duped. Speaking after the researchers announced their results, the abbot, Kiroshi Kyuda, says, knowing that it was made from living things, we will continue to take good care of it and keep it safe, which is a lovely way to live your life. Almost like an adoption sort of thing. An adoption of just a load of sea trash.
Sea trash. It's not exactly a Little Mermaid, is it?
It's not.
It looks
not.
Pretty messed up, this mermaid. Yeah. Like, type in Japanese mermaid guys online and get ready to recoil in absolute horror at this monstrosity. It's not like when you think Ningyo doll, like Ningyo's the word for doll in Japanese, right? When you think Ningyo, you think, oh, cute, cuddly, ceramic. This is like this is like a David Lynch nightmare. David Lynch meets Little Mermaid. And like the fact it's like four like different animals chopped up and stuck together makes it all the more horrifying. It's really interesting how they made it from like paper mache, a lot of it, and then just wrapped it in fugu.
Yeah.
Like a dead blowfish. Like, isn't that really sinister?
It was quite a lucrative little project, because mermen and mermaids all around the world have always been prized possessions for people around about this time when people believed in all that codswallop. And so, like, these people would sort of get, you know, grave robbed, steal bodies and clutter together. I would say that growing up in Hartlepool, we were obviously a seafaring town. And one of the prize exhibits of Hartlepool Museum was that guy. Can you see that little fella? on the camera.
It looks awful. It looks like a dead monkey sellotaped to a shark.
Yeah, somebody had just kind of... I mean, I guess that's not a human. They'd sort of made a weird kind of like amalgam of these sort of mermaid. I don't even think that's a proper skull. Yeah. Oh, so it was the body of a monkey, a wooden core, and the tail end of a fish. So someone had just got hold of a monkey, mummified it, and basically just sellotaped it to the bottom end of a fish. But we would be taken around this blooming museum so often because it was one of the only things to do in Hartlepool. And, it was almost presented as fact. No, this fucking merman. Mermaid.
Fact. What's wrong with people?
I know. What's wrong with people in Hartlepool?
When you're chopping a monkey's head up and sticking it on like the carcass of a fish,
you should be thinking, there must this, be a point, is, yeah, this is wrong.
Yeah, there must be a point where you think, is this a normal Thursday? Like, is this something I should be doing? Mm. Or should I just stop doing it?
Just stop
honestly,
doing
it's very odd. Yeah. On the second journey across Japan, which was set around Mount Fuji, we were looking for things to do, and there was a temple that had one of these mermaids in it.
Yeah.
And we really tried our best to get inside it, but the temple just would not play ball.
Inside the mermaid?
We couldn't find our way in.
I want to get inside the mermaid.
What did I say? Like it was inside the temple. Sorry, there was a little temple, and inside the temple there was a mermaid. And you don't get inside it. Oh God!
But
they wouldn't let us go in. They wouldn't let us have access, or they were busy that day. Some elaborate bollocks. Because we were like, we'll make it famous. We'll film it. We'll share it with the world. Knowing that it probably would have been a monkey strapped to a dolphin, whatever it was. Wrapped in fugu skin. Kind of glad we didn't go and do that now. Kind of glad that we didn't go. What I find astonishing is that it took them 1 year to come to this conclusion, when I'm pretty sure any normal person would have been able to do it with a magnifying glass and some scissors in 25 minutes. Like there's a, in the video of like the university in Kurashiki, there's like they're using a fucking CT scanner machine.
Yeah.
They, you know, they're feeding them into the, you know, and it's just like there's so much elaborate equipment.
Defund them. They're paid for that. Someone's paid for that.
It's the greatest waste of money since the squid.
Post-COVID. I mean, they started that project post-COVID. Like when I imagine the amount of money they had to look at these sort of things. Maybe it's important. Maybe it's not, but I think we both know, just by looking at it, that it was just a piece of shit that someone made.
Well, you be the judge, guys. Go and take a look at the Japanese mermaid mummy. We'll be back in just a moment with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Now we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Sven from Luxembourg. Hello, Creative Chris and Pathological Pete. I think the guys from Yes Theory Channel are coming to Japan sometime early this year. Since they are all about seeking discomfort, what are the most seemingly uncomfortable yet truly eye-opening and enriching experiences you could put yourself through when in Japan? Yes Theory. What's that then? What's that? Hello, little look. Oh, I'm familiar with those guys.
Uncomfortable.
Yes,
go and fucking look at the mermaid, mummy. Go and look at the, go and get them look to the pull apart
eat the
mermaid, mummy.
Eat that mermaid.
Why not? Yes Theory's a YouTube channel. They go and do wacky things, like sit on a boat across the Pacific or something. Don't they? Okay. I don't really watch them. They're quite a good channel, though. They do make good videos.
Oh, is that the guy who went across, went up to the top of the UK and then back down again? Oh, I don't know. Maybe
quite
not.
Possibly not. No, I don't think so. I think the last one I watched, this guy went on a boat to a very remote Pacific island, and that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Channels that go above and beyond the Call of Duty in a way that I never can or never will. it's interesting. There's lots of YouTubers coming to Japan at the moment. It's all the rage. There's, Ludwig just came over, and Yes Theory are coming. There's some others. And, it's interesting to see their take on Japan and what they're trying to do. A lot of them, just do capsule hotels, easy views indeed. But seeking discomfort, go on the night train and have a crap night's sleep, as I always do. That's big views and it requires no effort. And no matter how many videos you make about the night train in Japan, you will always get 1 million views without any effort, without question. I promise you this.
Just people like having a lie down. And maybe. Also, Americans probably never been on a train because they just fucking don't have them, do they? It's like, what is this?
It's better than Amtrak. We've got one here from Colin from Saskatoon, Canada, who says, hello, penile implant, Chris. Wait, what? Penile implant? What is this?
Whoa.
Penile implant, Pete. And crisis, Chris.
Some tough guy. Some tough guy coming around here, smashing out
have
insults.
Any of you participated in Japan's many martial arts like kendo, judo, or sumo? You guys are great. Love the podcast, Colin.
Sounds strong.
Do I look like I'm ready for sumo?
He sounds strong. He sounds like he's into that sort of thing. I better shut my mouth. Yes, I do have a penile implant.
And what are you going to do with it?
Tiny penile implant. So can I go smaller?
Can you like do any martial arts, Pete? Have you ever done anything?
I've never actually heard. Was kendo? Is the wrestling kendo stick part of kendo? Do you like whap a stick around? One of those kind of like big sticks that you...
Yeah. Kendo's the one with the stick.
Right, okay. Kendo's on the stick. Didn't you do some stick stuff? I think you did some stick stuff at one point, didn't you?
Yeah.
Forever Travel or something? I can't remember.
I did, I think it was Jigen Ryu. It was on the last episode, Journey Across Japan.
Right.
My friend Alex down in Kagoshima. And that's where the sword styles from.
Mm.
It's like this one strike method. A lot of sword, each sword kind of fighting technique is completely different. Some are quite offensive, some are quite defensive, and Jigen Ryu is basically the most offensive fight. You literally just charge at your enemy, holding it over your head and going, "Aah!" And then you just swing it down. The idea is to get a diagonal hit that goes through like your shoulder, cuts through your heart, and all the way through your chest. And
oh dear!
Big sort of diagonal, instant speed run murder. Pretty cool though. It was good fun doing it, but it's just like this seems mostly impractical because in what occasion am I going to be doing this? Whereas I did always want to learn Aikido, be like Steven Seagal before his reputation went down the toilet. Somewhat.
Is that the one where you just sort of like you sort of get out of the way and they sort of trip over?
Yeah, good.
You
use your opponent's energy against them, basically. So if you come and punch me, you sort of move out the way of it and deflect it. And I don't know.
Most big boys, they have very low opinions about that particular discipline.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then there's judo and karate. There's so many. I did think I'd try one. I thought I'd try and get into one of them. And all I did was go boxing, which I could have done anywhere. So you picked the wrong guy to ask Colin. Unfortunately, I'm awful. Pete's awful.
There's
so no.
There's a guy called Mark Pickering, who I think occasionally listened to Abroad in Japan. He is a judoist of some repute, so he's worth a following on Twitter. _ Mark Pickering, Welsh bloke, and he is also the commentator for Noah. Noah Global, one of the premier wrestling setups out there. So, interesting. Interesting.
I thought I was leading somewhere.
Just check him out.
Like Mark wants to go on an entire bar. Fair enough. Awesome. We got one here from Matt who says, "Hello, Crispy Pete." Oh, God, these get worse by the week.
Oh, nice. Okay, yeah. Good.
These get worse by the week. Some travel sites suggested buying chopsticks as a souvenir and using them as you go about your trip as a way to reduce waste. They even suggest using them in restaurants where you might be given disposable chopsticks. Is this a common practice or something weird tourists do? Matt from North Carolina. Matt, nobody I've ever met has ever bought chopsticks and taken them to a restaurant. It is weird. Nobody
I've
ever seen.
You're going to do that, just bring a fork.
Yeah.
Make it easier on yourself.
I don't know. I don't know how the restaurant would take that if you did it. I don't think they'd be offended or anything. I think they'd just be like, oh, you brought your own chopsticks. That's good, isn't it?
That's good. Well,
I don't know. It'd just be a bit weird. Because, no. What? No. God, no. But I've been running into tourists left, right and centre. The other day I was coming back from a trip from Hokkaido and there were some Australian folks there and they recognised me and we had a chat. And then a few minutes later, they got stopped by the police and five police rushed over. I was having problems with my own bag because I'd packed too much stuff in it. So I was at the desk trying to sort my bags out. And I saw four or five police officers standing around their bag. And I was like, oh, God, what have they done? What have they brought in? Those naughty Australians. And then I saw them again afterwards, after it all died down. And I was like, what the hell was in your bag to warrant that kind of response? It looked like almost like terrorists or something. And they said, we just bought a katana sword and we stuffed it in the bag. And made me think of EP, the sort of thing you'd do, isn't it?
Well, love me swords.
It must have been a nasty shock for the security. They stick the bag in, it goes through with the luggage that goes in the cargo hold of the plane. Often on domestic flights in Japan, they scan it right in front of you, right? So you put it through the scanner first and then it sort of gets taken away, dragged off to the cargo hold. And they must have put it through the machine and it must have been like, everything's good there. Wait a minute, is that a massive sword in there? What the bloody hell's that doing there? But yeah, it seems to be fine. Apparently it was a replica sword. So I was like, what's that? Is it made of plastic or something? And they were like, no, it's made of steel and they're usually made of iron or something. And I was like, oh, so it's still a deadly weapon then? Yeah. A replica, you know? Pretty cool.
I'm sure as you plunge it into the heart of the pilot, I'm sure he'll go, well, I'm glad this was a replica, otherwise I'd be dead. Good God.
Thank God it's only made of aluminium.
Thank God, yeah.
What have you done with your sword? You've got a katana sword lingering.
Don't tell the burglars. Don't tell the burglars. Sometimes it sings to me in the night. It goes, Pete, feed me burglars. And I go, I'll get you some burglars soon enough. Paul. It's called Paul.
That's going to be a news story for another podcast episode, the day you take down three burglars.
Yeah.
They come inside. Little do they know, Samurai Donaldson's waiting. Waiting. His automaton dodgy musical instrument in one hand, his katana sword in the other. Fuck me. That'll be a day.
Yeah.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later, guys, in the week. Do it all over again. But for now, before Pete Donaldson deafens us with his automaton, have a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Here's the thing.
Play us out, Donaldson. Oh, my Lord.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The thing about these automatons is they're not particularly made very well and they break constantly. So don't buy them. Or buy them. I don't care.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.